Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here for hour number two on this January the 11th, 2024. 13 minutes past the hour, and we want to thank Marion County Naturalist James Anderson for joining us in hour number one. James is currently in isolation taking radiation treatments for his thyroid cancer. Very brave to do that interview, and I certainly appreciate James coming on to do that. But it sounds like he's got a great support system, a good group of people around him, and certainly the nice things that his wife has done, and children, or son, I should say, sound good. And James will be fine, and he'll be back with us in the studio before you know it. So we thank James for opening up that particular private part of his life, and hopefully that'll help somebody out there who might be going through a similar issue or something of that nature. Phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Last night we did a TV taping at the studio, and it was a lot of fun to be back together again last night. Sean was there, Carrington was there, Matt was there, and we had George Kasotis came in last night. And I had not seen George in quite a while, so it's always good to catch up with George. And those episodes should be up on YouTube in the next few days. So George Kasotis and Carrington and Matt and of course, Sean doing the camera work on those episodes. So I appreciate that. That was a lot of fun. All right. Well, I do want to remind everybody that Matt Morgan's new show is on this station. Second episode tomorrow, Friday morning, 10:15 till 11 a.m., and then, of course, we have Pastor Craig tomorrow from 11:15 until 12 p.m. Exchange Club, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And then we have Study His Word, 1:15 to 2 p.m. tomorrow. And, of course, I'll kick off the morning from 8:15 until 10 a.m. So tomorrow morning should be very interesting, to say the least. You never know what's coming around the corner. All right. Well, I wanted to talk a little more about the whole auditor situation. We had Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis on Tuesday, and it elicited quite a bit of response yesterday. And I know, not only on air, but I have heard more from people in the community about this. And is there anything anybody else wants to say about the interview on Tuesday or anything we talked about yesterday? Maybe you did not get in or want to further elucidate an opinion here this morning. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If there is anything you would like to talk about in regard to that interview. It's been about 48 hours now. And the thing that I have learned about that interview was, there was so much speculation for such a long period of time about what happened there. Why did Miranda resign? How was it she was going to end up in the transit department? Why did she rescind her resignation? What was all this about? And then we certainly learned a lot on Tuesday. Now, again, I am not a lie detector machine, and I'm not saying anybody was lying, but I'm not a lie detector, and I certainly don't have subpoena power, but a lot of things were said on Tuesday that heretofore we certainly were not aware of. And nobody has disputed at this point anything that was said. I think that's very interesting. We have not heard from Bill Collins. We have not heard from Jason Schauber. We have not heard from Mayor Schertzer, and maybe we won't. I don't know. And the reason, if you didn't tune in yesterday, that this might be of some importance is we learned on Tuesday from Miranda that apparently, allegedly, Mayor Schertzer was in the meeting in which the deal went down, in which Bill offered Miranda the transit job if she would resign her position as auditor. Now, Jason Schaber also was apparently in that meeting. Up until that point, we did not know that. And I think Mayor Schertzer on several different occasions had said he was not in that meeting. I don't know if Jason Schaber ever said he directly wasn't in the meeting, but he said he wanted to know what had happened in the meeting. And then, of course, we learned that he was in the meeting. And nobody has said otherwise yet. So that's about all I can say there. Now, again, the big questions are, does Miranda need to go as auditor? A lot of people feel that way. The third vote of no confidence was taken on Monday and passed 8-1 city council. Are they going to try to remove her? Can they remove her? You know, there's a lot of question about that. It seems as if city council think they can. I don't know. I really don't know. They can certainly try. Will they succeed with that? I don't know. I'm not really sure at this point. And what kind of job is she doing? We do know that certainly fines have piled up to a great extent. Certainly a bond might be called in. Where do we go from here? I don't know. A lot of questions. But was it proper to have meetings with her in which her children's future was mentioned? Her family's future, her house, her reputation? I don't know. And why did that even happen? That's a whole nother question. How did we even get to that point where something like that would happen? Was it a quid pro quo? Certainly looks like it. You do this, and I'll do that. It's very confusing. And I don't know, there are laws against threatening elected public officials. Were these considered threats? I think in the interview Tuesday, Miranda said she took them as threats. She took them as bullying. Can you offer somebody a job to get them out of a certain position you don't want them in? I don't know. It's all very strange. But I think that the bottom line question here still has to be, why did people not want her to talk about this? And she said Bill Collins was the one who told her not to talk about it. Why? She asserted that Jason Schaber was the one who told her to go home after the resignation letter. Maybe there's more to that. I would love to hear from Jason. Jason's always been very good to me on this station. I hope he will come back and maybe we'll hear what that's all about. I don't know. All I can report right now, as of Thursday morning, I have heard from nobody who was mentioned in that meeting. Who was in that meeting? I have not heard from Mayor Schertzer. I have not heard from Jason Schaber. I have not heard from Bill Collins. If it were me and something was said that was not true, I might want to say that it wasn't true. But here we are. Maybe they're busy. Maybe they haven't heard the interview. I don't know. That's the way it goes. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, we had a couple of very interesting calls yesterday. One of our callers called in, and I hope I'm getting this right because it's just from my memory at this point. But one of our callers said that she had lost respect, some respect at least, for some of these people who she had respect for, and I think she was referring to Jason Schaber and Mayor Schertzer and possibly Bill Collins. I don't remember if his name was mentioned in because of the way this all went down. And maybe it didn't go down. I don't know. That's the point. You just don't know at this point. Although nobody has refuted anything. Nobody has said anything was untrue that was said on Tuesday morning at this point. But if somebody does, we'll let you know. Another call yesterday brought up the whole job of Miranda McGinnis's as Marion County Auditor. Well, is that the most important thing right now, her job, or is it getting to the bottom of what went on in the resignation process? Now, certainly, we do not want the city to lose any more money or be hit with any more fines, but if you go after her at this point in that way, after everything we know now from her interview on Tuesday, how that whole resignation happened and transit issue happened, is that a good idea? Another question that I think is a big question for a lot of people, if you thought she was so bad as the auditor, why would you want to put her in the transit department? And if you could get rid of her in fairly short order, somewhat easily, as Marion County Auditor, why did any of this need to be done? Why did any of this have to take place? Don't know. Again, phone lines are open if you'd like to comment on it. Certainly would love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you have anything to say about the Miranda McGinnis interview on Tuesday, which, like I say, I was still hearing about yesterday, and I'll tell you, a lot of people's question is, well, now what happens? Is city council going to do anything about this? Are they just going to go back and say, well, she's not doing her job, we need to get her out of there? Are they going to ask any questions of Mayor Bill Collins? I don't know. Nobody said anything to me. But that's the questions I'm getting as I'm out in the public from people who heard the interview. So what happens now? We think we know what we know now. So what are people going to do? What do you think they should do? Dust it under the rug and go to trying to get her out of office? Try to get her out of office while you try to figure out what's going on with this whole thing? I don't know. Not my decision, but certainly I think eventually will be the decision of somebody. Well, you know, we just had a question asked here online, and it's a very interesting question. Why is she fighting so hard to stay in a job she's not able to do? Now, I can't answer for anybody, but I think what Miranda would say is that she can do the job. Now, again, I'm not speaking for her, but I think that's what she would say. And I think also right now there's a little bit of anger about how she was treated. Was it okay to be treated that way? Rather or not you think she's doing the job okay, was all that necessary? Would it, if you worked at Walmart, would it be okay for your boss to do that? Would it be okay for another employee to do that? You know, I was just in Walmart yesterday, so I guess this is on my mind. But if you worked at the service desk at Walmart and you were not good at your job, would it be okay if your store manager came to you and started talking about your family, talking about your livelihood, started talking about your reputation, started talking about things of that nature, and offered you a job in another department to get you out of that department? See, that's a big question. If you can get her out of that department, why did any of that need to happen? Why did we have to talk about any personal things? Why did we have to offer somebody a job in the transit department? Why did any of that have to happen? Why did these meetings need to take place? Because if the truth is that she can't do the job and that she's not good at the job, then why does any of this other stuff need to happen? Well, again, we come back to point A. Is it so easy to get rid of her? I don't know. You know, I don't think that process has started yet. I've heard things, but I haven't seen anything. And will the next person be any better? Will they be able to do anything? I don't know. Does anybody have a thought on this? 28 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But I thank our message out there, Messenger, for the question. Go ahead, caller.
My friend Scott, how are you today?
You know, I'm having a good morning this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think that it is critical to remind everybody that at this point, these are allegations. So I think going along with that, it's important that if an allegation has been made and you are potentially involved in that allegation, you need to make a statement to either, you know, refute it or to correct it or whatever you need to do. So the fact that those individuals haven't said anything, it doesn't look good.
Well, that's,
at this point, they are just allegations.
Well, that's my question this morning, because certainly the people who were mentioned of consequence in that interview are Bill Collins, Jason Schauber, because they're both still there, and Mayor Schertzer, not because he's there or had anything to do with it, but because he had said otherwise in interviews. Those would be the three. And the fact that none of them have said anything, well, I don't know. Maybe that's just par for the course. But if somebody made allegations of me, and it didn't happen, I would think I'd want to say something.
I think so. And I think when you are a public official, you have a responsibility to your constituents and the people that you represent to be honest and to be transparent. And that's the crux of the allegation, really, is the lack of transparency. So I do. I think that Mayor Bill Collins, I don't know if he's given statements or, you know, anything, press conference, interviews with any other entity, but if he hasn't, he needs to, and try to clarify this situation rather than just keeping it in the dark, because when you do that, then you have somebody like Miranda McGinnis come out, and she gives her story, and she comes across, like I said yesterday, she comes across as believable, but maybe it's not.
There are two points here that I find very interesting. And the one is with Bill, because she, and again, I'm not a lie detector, but she said that Bill Collins was the one who told her not to speak. Now, because we're talking about coming out and speaking, I think that's interesting in a way. Maybe the idea is that if we don't talk about it, if we don't bring it up, that eventually the public's going to forget and go back to trying to get her out of that office.
Well, I think that's endemic within most of our representative government. And I put representative in quotations because it's not very representative most of the time. They try to keep as little information out there as possible, because one of my favorite quotes is former Justice of the Supreme Court Louis Brandeis: sunlight is the very best of disinfectants. So if you shed the light on these issues, then that may bring up additional issues. But the public needs to be informed. They need to be aware.
Now this brings up the other point, because honestly, this is probably the question that I heard most since the interview. Heard it Tuesday night, heard it yesterday, probably have even heard it this morning. Okay, even if you believe she's the worst auditor ever, and you believe this is all her fault, and you believe she can't do the job, is it okay now for these people who are still there, who have been named, Jason Schaber, Bill Collins, is it okay for them now to proceed in removing her from office without ever being questioned or made to answer for all the allegations that were made on Tuesday?
Well, I kind of thought about that after the whole hostile environment allegations were made, and then the allegations that it was, you know, somehow directed because she was a female, that offers her protection from any, because if she's made those allegations, then they may be more reticent to take action for fear of how it's going to look. And again, that's why they should have come out. So if you want to talk about political expediency and not being particularly savvy, you want to get control of the story, and you want to get your message to the people so that you don't have somebody else that comes in before you and preempts your message, setting the tone. And that is what has happened. And I think that former Mayor Scott Schertzer mentioned that in one of your interviews over the past 2 months, that exact same thing, that you want to get out ahead of things. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's one. I will, if I try to quote it, I'll misquote it. But he has a quote in which basically the thrust of it is, say it first, say it often, and, you know, tell the truth, but do it before anybody else does it.
Exactly. And I think that that is very wise, especially when you have a situation in a critical department like the auditor's office. If you're saying that it is in disarray, and we know that it is, and it has been for at least 4 years. So I think that everybody involved, in order to try to fix that problem, should have been completely transparent, should have been open and honest, and presented all the facts and cut out baseless allegations and hearsay and anything negative. Try to just get the facts out there and do it in a reconciliatory manner. And from Miranda, I think that was, if she didn't do that, and I don't know, but if it were me coming into an office and I was appointed, I would immediately have gone through and audited, and I mentioned this yesterday, and come across, or, you know, came up with an action plan. So I would have been completely, you know, I would say, these are all the issues, potential issues that we are facing, and we need to address these items are of critical importance in the short term, medium term, long term. And I would have been going to those meetings and saying, hey, this is what's going on with this item. This is what's going on with this item. We've solved this problem. Now we're moving on to this one. And take control of it, but don't own it. And I think that that's all part of setting the tone of discussion. If that would have been done, and it would have had to have been done at the very beginning, so that you don't own it. But if you come in and you don't take control, and you're a little bit more passive or timid, then, you know, rightly or wrongly, those deficiencies then become your responsibility and are tied to your administration.
Well, and I think in the long term, the question, like I say, that I was being asked yesterday, I don't think anybody was saying if she is doing a bad job that she should not be made to account for that. I think what the question now has become is, was the behavior of the people involved in these meetings and how it went down, is that equally as bad to do that? Is it ethical to do that? It, you know, because really we're talking about a person's job here. We're talking about Miranda McGuinness's job, and is she doing it in a proper way? Well, I think a lot of people right now would be saying, are these other people doing their job in a proper way? Is that how you run City Hall?
Well, I found it interesting that when you asked her point blank to give a description of each of those individuals that she was alleging were in attendance, do you remember how she described Mayor Collins?
Yes, I do, and that's why I followed up on it.
It was strong.
Strong.
Okay, so if I am being berated wrongly, and I am made to feel that I'm in a hostile environment, am I going to describe them as strong? I would probably use another adjective, wouldn't you, Scott?
Well,
because
you know,
that implies that, I mean, I would say, you know, you would say mean, or you would say intimidating. You wouldn't say strong. And it's the same thing with Councilman Schauber, was opinionated. Well, okay, that's good. We want our elected officials and the people that represent us to be opinionated. We want them to have an opinion. But if I was feeling intimidated by somebody and I thought that they were not on the up and up and doing something wrong, I probably wouldn't just say opinionated.
Well, I think at that point in the interview, and again, I'm not anybody's spokesperson, but by the time that question came around, I think that the meetings had been described as uncomfortable. I think they had been described as threatening. I think they had been described as bullying. I think that, so I, you know, I think she already pretty well said that she felt that way in regard to those people. But I also think, you know, it's very interesting. And again, I want to make very clear that Ayers Ratliff was not alleged to be a part of any of these meetings. But Ayers has probably, in the city council meetings I've been to, been the most vocal in criticizing her and her job. Yet she did not describe him in a bad way. But certainly anybody who's viewed those city council meetings cannot say that he has not been vocal, and a lot. I think even Jason Schauber had said that he described him as a mean girl who had went too far sometimes. So she didn't really say anything negative about any of those men, but yet describing the meetings, describe them as uncomfortable. And I think the one thing we know is clearly she had left up to her own devices. She was not going to leave that job. So, again, what forced that? Was it the offer of going to transit? Doesn't seem that way because she didn't end up there. Was it the way the meetings went down? That's what it looks like right now.
Well, how long, because without the bond rating, as I understand it, that's the problem with their eligibility to continue in any grant programs, which the transit department is funded through grants, correct?
Yes.
So the question then is, with their current budget and, I guess, grant money that they have, how long can they operate? So she may have come to that realization and said, yeah, if I move over here, then this will end up being merged as soon as we run out of whatever grant funds that we currently have to operate.
Well,
that's a question.
That's a whole nother question, though, because I do believe when that was first brought up that there might be a merging or something of that nature, that Jason Schauber said that Bill Collins should have known about that, and if he didn't know about that, he should have. So, you know, did he make this offer knowing that that position was going to be eliminated? Is that ethical?
Well, you know, I don't know. And even when Scherzer was talking about how he would talk to people ahead of time, you know, because I would think that that would be, and this would all be, you know, ethics decisions and things that you would have to review in order to determine if there was any wrongdoing. Plus, you'd have to get those, you know, statements from the individuals that were actually in attendance. But you would prepare your administration, and on its face, if there wasn't anything else, I think as far as like intimidating or, you know, using bad tactics or improper tactics, I think just putting it out there to say, hey, if you resign, I'd like to appoint you over to this position. I don't know if that would be wrong. I wouldn't think that it would be. But then again, that's not for me to say.
No, but isn't ultimately the problem here? You know, again, if you feel she's a bad auditor, if you feel she's not doing the job, if you feel the job's being done poorly, and you feel you can remove her, which we have heard, why did any of this need to take place? Why did you need to get personal? Why did you need to call all these people into a meeting? Why did you need to say leave the building for a while? Why did you need to say don't talk to anybody? What made the difference? You were going to the transit department. Why did any of this need to happen? Why didn't you just go in, say you're terrible at your job, we're going to go to the probate court, we're going to go to the state of Ohio, and we're going to remove you? Why not
maybe
do that?
That process would be more arduous and difficult
and
than
isn't,
what some people are saying.
But isn't that the problem? You didn't want to do it the, I think, what some people would consider the ethical, proper way. So let's find a way around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question, for sure. But they may have been trying to spare, I guess, the city of that fight. Because up to that point, she was firmly holding the position that she was not going to resign. So again, I can see it out of political expediency. It's just whether or not that it was done properly and ethically. And when you don't have that transparency and those individuals haven't made a statement, then that muddies the water. And then getting somebody that's taking, you know, gets out there and does say that, oh, nope, this is how it happened, and this is why it happened. And then the public says, well, we've only heard from this person, so I guess this is how it went down.
You know what two big issues are here, and they really are big issues, and they are beyond the money of the city of Marion. The first big issue, like you say, when we talk about the woman issue, did she feel this would have happened if she was not a woman? And she said no. Now, there is some merit to that, because in the last 4 years, we had Robert Landon, who I think is only a year in age different than her. Robert Landon, same position, same situation, as far as we don't like the job you're doing, you need to resign, calling on him for his resignation. He has kids. He has a wife. Has a house, I think. I don't remember anybody going to him, and if they did, let me know. I don't remember anybody going to him and saying, listen, think about your house. Think about your family. Think about your reputation. Hey, let's get you a job in a different department here so we can get you out of this position. That didn't happen with him. And again, if it did, point it out to me. Why did that happen with her and not him? And also, another question I would have in this whole situation, again, yes, and I've said it a million times, you can feel she's the worst auditor ever and the city is losing money hand over fist because of her. You can believe all those things,
But again, that's a job, and we're saying she's not good at her job. But isn't the job of a mayor, isn't the job of a councilman to do things in a proper way? And again, I'm not even sure the illegalities of these. You know, when Ayers Ratliff was on New Year's Eve, and again, we did not know much at that time, but it was my understanding that the way this job was offered possibly could have been seen as a bribe, some illegality, that bullying or threatening a public official could be seen as a criminal activity. But people don't seem to care to hear the answers to those questions. It's all back to Miranda's job performance. And I would imagine those people probably like that.
Well, again, it's just, it's her allegation. What? And you need those other individuals to give a statement and to say what, you know.
Well, and that's my question. Should they?
I definitely, 100%. You need that transparency. You need that public awareness. They need to come forward and to either refute or affirm what she said happened and what the situation is, because that office is of critical importance to the city of Marion and the people of Marion. Because not free, Scott. So when you have somebody that is in charge of the books, and the finances in the city, that is probably the most important, or at least tied for the most important, I would think, overall. Now, as far as Robert Landon, now he just resigned. He felt the heat and he resigned on his own accord, right?
Took a while, but he did, yes.
Well, I almost think that that's more of a hard position than what they tried to do with her. If they genuinely tried to accommodate her and they weren't being intimidating, I mean, again, those are just her allegations, is that they were being intimidating and hostile and everything, and what was said and everything. But I think just being like, hey, no, you know, we're going after you, you're going to either resign or we're going to get rid of you. That's a little bit more hard than saying, hey, you know, why don't you move over here? We'll try to put you in this position. Not saying that that was the right thing to do. It may have been the politically expedient thing to do and the practical thing to do in their mind. But again, we don't even know that because they haven't said anything about it.
Well, doesn't that make it more odd, though, what you just said? Now, what if they had just went and said, Miranda, listen, Mayor Schertzer's already called for your resignation. City council members have called for your resignation. There have been meetings where council people have ringed you out in front of the audience here. How about going to the transit department? Okay, that's one way to do it. If that's the kind way to do it, then why did you have to get into all those personal areas?
Well, if that happened, again.
Well, again, nobody's denied it.
Right. If it happened, now I could see if you were saying, you know, I said, Scott, you need to step down. You know, it's going to happen one way or the other. And then you're like, no, I refuse. I'm going to stay in here and there's nothing that you can do about it. Until you remove me, I'm staying in this office. Well, you know, well, think about your kids. You know, you got family and everything. If you move over here, you'd have this position and we can go in and we can try to clean up your office, Scott. You know, I could see it going that way in a more, if it was, you know, in a more appropriate, you know, calm way, and trying to just talk some common sense into somebody that is maybe being belligerent, or at least belligerent in their, or stubborn, I should say, stubborn in their opinion that they're going to stay and they're going to be forced to be removed. So Robert Landon just resigned. You know, after how much pressure, you know, from city council, on the record, off record, you know, we don't know what was happening behind the scenes with that either. But I can see it going that way too. And that's why when she gave those descriptions as strong and opinionated, it wasn't, those aren't negative terms. So I can tell you that if I thought that I was being threatened and intimidated and I thought it was really hostile, I probably wouldn't describe the individuals that were doing that to me as strong. I would say intimidating.
You know what's odd, though, about that, and just to set a precedent for this, even when Mayor Schertzer, because Miranda was on, and people can go back and check this, when Miranda was on the morning that Mayor Schertzer called for her resignation, she found out about it, a matter of fact, in the studio moments prior to going on the air. It was printed in the Marion Star that morning. And I asked her her opinion of Mayor Schertzer during that interview, and she did not say anything negative. Now, this is the man who's calling for a resignation in the paper that morning, and she did not use negative adjectives to describe him. And speaking of Mayor Schertzer, every time he said something about her not being a good auditor, he always prefaced it with, she's a wonderful person, but... So I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people don't necessarily... They'll say, listen, I don't like what they did to me, but... As a person, this is who they are, if you're asking me to describe them.
Even if they were genuinely being hostile and intimidating and you thought that their actions were inappropriate, you would still...
Well, let me ask, if somebody asked you to resign in the local paper and it was on the front page and they had never come to you to ask you to resign, would you feel warm and fuzzy toward that person?
Well, if I thought that I was over my head, if I genuinely, and that's the other part of it. She described, you know, the last four years, so two of which was during her term, as the auditor's office being garbage. So, and she has admitted in the multiple interviews that you've done with her that it is a bad state of affairs, right? She has admitted that, and that she didn't know what she was doing, and she is wanting to learn. She's wanting to see things through and to learn and to try to fix a problem. So I take that as, like, if somebody was
saying something that was true,
I agree with, then I would probably say, yeah, they're saying this because it is real. I mean, this is a bad situation here, and I don't necessarily know what I'm doing.
But I don't think she's mad about that. Right, but I don't think she agreed with that because she didn't resign and said, I don't plan on resigning. And I also think that it's also important to remember that Miranda McGinnis was appointed to this position. Now, what culpability is it of those people who appointed her to this position? I mean, what did they look at?
Exactly. But there again, when you we have a lack of transparency, and in a lot of respects, we have a uniparty, and I'm saying nationally, just all. It's very difficult to be an independent, honest person that is running for any office. And to try to do so without being a stooge to the people that wield power. So, yeah, I mean, why did they pick her? You know, what considerations went into, or anybody else, not just Miranda McGinnis, but just any appointments? I mean, Chauver made some allegations on. Stated his opinion on who he thinks that will be appointed, you know, in the commissioners, and kind of insinuated that was a little bit of backroom dealings, right?
I think he did, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, unless people take an active role in their local community and what's going on and ask these questions and demand accountability, you're going to get the same thing.
Well, with 2 minutes left to go here, I think we come back to the initial question, because when council meets next, can they just continue to go after her job and not answer any of these allegations that have been made? Because if they can do that, then they're probably not going to answer them. if nobody will blink an eye at it and say, okay, well, you know, that's that, but she's still a terrible auditor. We need to get her out of here. Do they need to answer these before they continue on with whatever they're going to continue to try to do?
I think that they need to, and, you know, they may be, if there is truth to it, and somebody can back her up. I mean, I know she said that several of her office staff were involved in those meetings. Now, again, that's going to be tough because they're probably not going to want to lose their job or for any potential retaliatory thing, you know, especially if somebody, their boss, is going to be removed. You know, they're probably hoping that they're going to stay in that position with whoever is going to replace her if that ends up happening. So are you going to get them to be willing to step up and give a statement? I don't know.
Well, really, at this point, nobody has said that it didn't happen. And I would think that one of those three people would have at least want to say that.
You would think. But again, they're probably going to be concerned about any potential, you know, retaliatory thing that may happen. Maybe. Maybe not. But you got to think that, you know, they probably want to stay in that office. So if they speak out and go up against, you know, some power players in the city, they may not want to do that.
Well, and what does that say on the whole?
It does, but that's reality. I mean, we accept, Scott, you know, I like mob movies. I love Sopranos as a series. I loved, you know, all the Goodfellas and Casino and anything Scorsese does in that genre. And we accept, as a society, we accept the notion
place for
of corruption
guests, like-
and of unethical behavior, like on the screen. But then, for whatever reason, we don't think that that really happens every day, even at the local level, state level, federal level.
Well, I think, and we're about out of time here, but I think in this particular case, the difference is whether or not, and again, like I say, I'm no lie detector, whether or not she told the truth or not, she did say something. So we know one side of the story, and the other side of the story is not saying anything. So will anybody ever make them account for that? And that's ultimately what this becomes. If it was just nobody's talking and we don't really know and it's all supposition and it's all subjective, that would be one thing. But that's not where we're at after Tuesday morning. One person who was definitely in those meetings told their story. And the others at this point have not, 48 hours later. And is it the idea that if we don't have to? We'll find out, I guess, as time goes on.
Indeed we will.
Thank you.
Keep at it, Scott.
All right, and we're done for the day. Voice of a People with Linda Sims coming up next. Stay tuned.
Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you, how do you deal with that?